Okay, let us continue our study of The Art of Spiritual Healing by Joel Goldsmith. Chapter 10, Spiritual Unfoldment, Not Human Birth or Death. Now, in this chapter, there is going to be several statements of truth that you may have a hard time accepting, believing. And we'll get to that as we go on. I suggest you take a moment, close your eyes. Father, I am receptive to you. I listen to your inner word, to what is revealed to me within as we pass through this chapter, this consciousness that wrote the chapter, that spoke the chapter. I rest and I listen. He begins, in God's creation, there was light before there was a sun. In God's creation, there was a crop before there was a seed planted. In other words, there were no material processes, and you can put it in the present tense. In God's creation, there are no material processes. That should give you a clue. If you're seeing a material process, you're looking with a material sense of sight. In our true identity, we are Melchizedek, having neither mother nor father. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. In the Adam dream, there is incarnation after incarnation, but in our true identity, there is no process of birth or death. There is always only the I. All of these incarnations have been a dream. In your true identity means in your consciousness. I stand back of me, and I know all that is happening to this person called me, and to this thing called my body, but I am not identified with it. One of these days I shall evolve out of this sense of body into whatever the true identity or form of my body may be. There is an I, and I am that I. I am aware that you as a person have a body, and in most cases I am aware of your true identity. I can almost feel the reality of it. Here comes the first one. Child conceiving and child bearing are only concepts of human belief. Well, that takes away, or should take away, all of those feelings and beliefs that this is my child. I had this child. No. You're looking through a material sense of sight. In reality, this is God unfolding, disclosing, and revealing itself. Now, if you have the correct glasses on, which is your true identity, if you're standing in consciousness, you can behold God unfolding and disclosing itself. If you're standing in a material sense of existence, in the human brain, you can only see a baby being born. Whether it's hers or whether it's yours. And I know you don't like that, but this is not a path for people to like. This is a path for you to awaken to what really is. God is always at the point of absolute maturity. In all this world, there is no such thing as a child. Think about that. Drive by an elementary school and look at all the children. In all this world, there is no such thing as a child. To the uninitiated, this may seem like a very strange and startling statement. But God is always at the point of absolute maturity. And so if you had the vision of from or through your true identity, you would see God at the point of maturity everywhere that you look and in everyone. Why then do we see a person develop and grow from infancy to maturity and from maturity to old age? What we are witnessing is the unfolding of our concept. We've said it before. We must come out of all these concepts and stand in consciousness and behold reality. What we are witnessing is the unfolding of our concept, not the birth or growth of spiritual being, the Son of God. The maturing of an infant is an activity of God unfolding. Actually, it was complete from the beginning. Okay, so you have always existed. Before this incarnation, you were somewhere. Where were you? You were standing in consciousness. Now, we call that the kingdom of heaven. Well, I was in heaven, and you picture heaven as a place. Heaven is not a place. Heaven is consciousness. And so you always existed in consciousness. Now, you think you were born, you grew up, you matured, and now you are however old you are. The truth is, you are still standing in consciousness. You never left. God cannot be conceived. God cannot be born. It can only unfold as individual being. We need to come into the vision that sees God unfold as individual being, instead of seeing human flesh, human incarnation, human birth, and human death. God is that force that all that we can inherit is of the Father, Mother, God, the emanation of the one life expressing itself, one life revealing itself, one life demonstrating itself, one life manifesting itself individually, universally, and impersonally. Impersonally is without a person. God is unfolding itself without a person. The qualities, nature, and character of God are made manifest in its expression in individual life. It is true that there is the appearance of a human. It is true that there is a claim of a self apart from God. And I see the entire thing is a claim. The entire human experience is a claim, and a claim is something you treat so that you can see through it to reality. When a problem claiming to have its basis in heredity arises, ponder the idea of God, the one life, and the nature of the divine heritage. Realize the divine heritage of man as spirit, life, truth, love, harmony, consciousness. We are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now do you realize what it means to call no man your father upon the earth? For one is your Father, which is in heaven. If you call no man on earth your father, you have only one parent. You have no parents on earth. And now we've taken away our parents. First we took away children, and now we take away our parents. These people are not our parents. True, they may be our brother, our sister, but they are not our parents. And when we develop the eyes that see, we see God as our parent, our only parent. Yes, this is a difficult chapter to accept. You have no parents on earth. Each one is the Son of God. You remember that scripture in John that says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God? Yes, well, if you are able to receive this lesson today, you will be given power to become aware that you are the Son of God. So, receive this. There is but one Father, one creative principle, and you are heir to all the heavenly riches. You are not anything of yourself, but by sonship, you are all that God is. You have all that God has, because, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. when you have pondered the meaning of this lesson today, until you are convinced of its truth, you will understand how to meet every appearance of limitation. The five senses may testify to limitation, but I accept only the truth that I and the Father are one, and that all that the Father has is mine. I have accepted my divine sonship. Ponder that. Keep that in front of you. There may be days and weeks and months when limitation persists with unremitting force. But that is your testing time. Are you going to believe and accept the appearance, the concepts? Or are you going to hold steadfastly to your conviction, I am the Son of God. God is my Father. I am an offspring of God, not of man. The contemplation of the truth that you have no earthly parentage, but that the Spirit of God is your Father, your creative principle, sets you free from the limitation of humanhood. No longer do you move on the level of humanhood affected by the times and tides of human experience. You are lifted above that. And that is the experience recounted in The New Horizon. If you haven't read it in some time, read it. It deals specifically with the concepts of humanhood and rising out of them into your true identity, into Christ consciousness, where you behold God unfolding. The message in this book is not mine, but comes through me as the instrument. Life is not subject to material conditions or to mental beliefs. It is subject only to itself, which is God. So, what do we have so far? There is no such thing as a child. There is no such thing as parents. There is no such thing as your incarnation. You have never incarnated. You are standing in consciousness. As consciousness. Before this birth, you were standing in consciousness. Now, this moment, you are standing in me, consciousness. And I am the life of you. And my Father is God. Therefore, whatever God is, I am. Stand still. Listen. Stand in consciousness, in the conscious awareness of your Father God. And listen. And I will speak, and I will reveal myself, unfold and disclose within you. So close that I am you. It's time to mature. It's time to grow up spiritually. It's time to come into your spiritual adulthood and begin to see your own true identity. Omnipresent in every direction. Before Abraham was, right this second. Even after the end of the world, right this moment. Eternity is in both directions, and your life is eternal. Therefore, it will go on forever. And now look backwards. It has always existed. God is my Father. I am the emanation of God. God is life, and in that life which is God, there are no years. And there's another one. In God, there has never been years. In your consciousness, there has never been years. That which you have watched unfold as years are only a series of concepts in the human brain. But step out of that now, if only for a moment, and behold, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. And in I, there has never been a year. Not one. You existed before the world was, in I. You exist after the end of the world, in I. And right now, this moment, you exist in I, consciousness. I have only the life of God to behold. He tells us over and over to live life as a beholder. You should be beholding God unfolding and disclosing itself. Do not fear this human sense of life or the loss of it. The human sense of life is not your real life. Your real life is the life you are living in your soul, in your consciousness. And so as you come to the end of your days and as this incarnation, remember, stand in the eye, stand in your consciousness, and you can walk right into your next existence, your next experience. That is your life, your real being. The body is not the governor of that life. That life governs the body. Your life is a law onto your body. The body does not control consciousness. Consciousness controls the body. That's truth. But there's a caveat. Your consciousness controls the body only when you are consciously aware of consciousness. It doesn't do anything as you go down the street in your human mind, does it? Do not look upon healing work as if its object were solely to keep everybody here on earth permanently. That is not its object. Its object is spiritual regeneration, so that as the soul expands, each individual is ready for higher experiences, not only here on earth, but the higher experiences that can come to you as you leave this earth. There are experiences that will come to you as you leave this earth. As you stand in consciousness, they can come to you now. You don't have to wait until you leave this earth. Every time an impartation reaches you within, it comes from God. God is forever expressing as individual you and me, and that expression continues on into eternity. Each one can discover this for himself by inner mystical experience, and he can find corroboration in the convincing accounts of the mystics of all ages. So, God is forever expressing as your consciousness, and it is eternal in both directions. Always was, always is, always will be consciousness. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Before Abraham was, I am. I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I did not begin with birth. I will not end with death. For I am with you since before Abraham. Find the I within yourself. Find it. Feel it. Be consciously aware of it. Rest back in I. When you are sick, you will find that I is there. When you come to your last moments, I will be there with you. And as you cross the borderline, which is called death, I will carry you right across. Once you have located God as the eye of your being, your permanent identity, you have nothing to fear. If you make your bed in hell, I am there. If you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am there. You have nothing to fear as long as you consciously remember that I am with you. It must be consciously remembered. In the spiritual kingdom, there is no future tense. Just remember that one statement. Now, he's got that in italics, which usually means it's important. In the spiritual kingdom, where is the spiritual kingdom? You say in heaven. Where is heaven? Heaven is your consciousness when it is not filled with concepts. Heaven is your consciousness of your true identity. Heaven is your conscious awareness of I. In that consciousness, there is no future tense. Well, now, he's taken your child, he's taken your parents, he's taken your past, and now he's taking your future. There is only now. There is no such thing as time. And now he's taking your time. He's taking time. There is no such thing as time. What a chapter. There is no such thing as a child. You do not have earthly parents. So there's no such thing as earthly parents. There's no such thing as time. There is only an eternal now. And in that eternal now, I am. To human sense, that is in your human mind, in these concepts, this may be a deathbed, or being lost in the desert, or adrift on the ocean, or suffocating in a burning building. That is what the appearance may testify to. But the answer? I am. There is no future tense. You cannot be saved in the future, and you cannot be saved in the past. It makes no difference what the clock says or what the calendar says. It is still now, and always will be now. I now am. I now am about my Father's business, and what is my Father's business? To glorify God. You are only alive and well that God's glory can be manifest. That is the only reason you exist, that God's grace may be made visible. So now he's taking whatever goals you have, whatever goals in the future. Oh, I want to be a great politician. Oh, I want to be chief of the fire department. Oh, I want to be a college graduate. Oh, I want to be an excellent husband, a good father. You are only alive and well that God's glory can be manifest. That is the only reason you exist, that God's grace may be made visible. So now he's taken that. He's taken everything, except one thing. God, your Father, unfolding, expressing as your consciousness, as the I within you. Anyone who fears has no God. The minute you have a God, you cannot have fear. What would you fear? Passing from this scene is not your death. It is only death to those who fear it. And then they wake up to find out how unnecessary were those fears, and to discover that passing from this scene is but a transitional experience. Can you think of another transitional experience that you've been through as you have walked on earth? Maybe you passed from being a teenager to being an adult. That was kind of a rocky one. But you made it. Everything was okay. You learned new boundaries. You learned new ways to function. And you're fine. You're okay. Passing from this earth is another transitional experience. I'm sure that when we first pass, it may seem all new and different, but we learn to function and we continue the work that we had on earth. Whatever work you're involved with, you continue it. Now, if you do the work here and you begin to live as consciousness, well, he'll tell you, but you pass out of here in the same place you are here. You're standing in consciousness here and you walk across and you're in consciousness there. Because here and there is consciousness. We live an eternal and an immortal life. Whether we are 6 years of age, 60, or 600, we are still living. The body changes, but it should never become the body of old age. It should always be the body of real maturity. Then would come that transitional experience of walking right out into our next phase of existence, which is but a continuation of our work on this plane. Remember, that's if you're consciously aware of I. And this I know not from assumption, but from experience. Those who are on the spiritual path, and that's us, that's all of us, regardless of how little progress they seem to have made, are instantly, by the very act of passing, lifted into a higher atmosphere than they experienced here on earth. In other words, if they are on the spiritual path, the very act of passing is a release from a great deal of this material sense of existence. So if you're on this path, and you are if you're listening and assimilating this or trying to, at the moment of your passing, you will be lifted up into a higher consciousness, a higher awareness of consciousness, a higher sense of existence. You'll be lifted out of this material sense of existence. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody should go see Dr. Kevorkian and speed up the process, because I don't believe it works that way. I think if you're trying to commit suicide, you're still stuck in a material sense of existence and you're not on the spiritual path. But if you are on the spiritual path, at the moment of your crossing over, you will be lifted into a higher consciousness than you experienced here on earth. Now, he says that's not an assumption. That's from his experience. The very act of passing seems to release those who are on the spiritual path from much of the material sense of existence, and they instantly enter a higher consciousness. Doesn't that sound like fun? I think I know what that feels like. Anyway, you can experience that here. You don't have to wait for that moment. But you do need to learn to release your material sense of existence and dwell in your true identity, your consciousness, your soul. and rest back in your Father. The ultimate is that everyone eventually attain complete Christ realization. What is Christ realization? What is Christ? Christ is your true identity. What is realization? Discernment. And so eventually, everyone will attain complete true identity discernment. Now that means all the time. While you're walking around, while you're doing the laundry, while you're grocery shopping, while you're making the bed, while you're mowing the grass, while you're fixing the window, while you're driving a car, while you're hiking in the woods, while you're rowing a rowboat or a canoe, or just paddling on a raft at the beach. Everywhere, you will discern true identity everywhere. And that is how someone pressing through the throng and touching that at the edge of that consciousness can be healed. Someone looking for a spiritual answer, when you gaze upon them and you see God unfolding and disclosing itself, that person may be healed and never even know from where it came, other than from God, and they'll be right. This is so fantastic, this transition from a material sense of life to spiritual being in God. It's fabulous, it's wonderful, it's fantastic. How many days, weeks, months, years, or eons that will require, or how many times we shall have to return to the human sense of existence for another opportunity to learn, that perhaps knoweth no man. One thing is certain. You did not choose to enter the spiritual path. You had no such power as a human being. Do you remember how you started on this path? I do. I was a child, 10, 11, 12, and in my neighborhood, I was trying to earn some cash, probably to go to the movies or maybe just to buy some candy bars. I don't remember, but I went around the neighborhood and I asked people if they had old pop bottles they'd wanted to get rid of, or if they needed the car washed or needed some other chore done. And there was a lady that she had a son who always sat on the porch in a wheelchair and babbled. And you'd walk by and he'd be babbling. And I didn't want to go up to that house. It made me nervous. But I overcame it and I went up anyway. Knocked on the door and she came out. And I told her I wanted to earn some extra money. And she said, "Let me show you how to get money." So she invited me in and I went in and she took some coins and went into the bathroom sink, I think it was, could have been the kitchen, I don't remember. And she t- took the coins in her hands and put them under running water and washed her hands with the coins and said, "This will attract money to you." And now, I didn't know it then, but now looking back, lo, these many years, I can see that that was a form of metaphysics. That was a form of mentally drawing money to myself. And I tried it, and that weekend I made $36. $36 was pretty good back in the 60s. The next thing that happened was I met a lady. I don't know why I was always meeting these ladies. Yes, I do. Because my consciousness was ready. I met a lady and she had a book on her shelf called The Impersonal Life. And it was one of the books put out by Divorce and Company. And I borrowed it. And it was a book on the eye of your being. And I read it. I didn't quite understand it, but it felt right. It sure did feel right. And that was my second experience. And then, of course, I took a detour. I went down a road where I took a lot of drugs and grew my hair and everything else you do in the 60s. We did in the 60s. And then I met a guy who told me that I could not find God if I was taking LSD. He said I needed to stop that. And he gave me a book called The Art of Meditation. And by then I think I was 16, and I was in the 11th grade, and I took that book home and I devoured it. I could not stop reading that book. It was so much what I felt inside. I used to take it to school and I'd sit in my history class with my history book open. And The Art of Meditation was a little bit shorter than the history book, so I'd have the history book open and then The Art of Meditation in front of that, and the teacher would be teaching about U.S. history, and I would be reading The Art of Meditation in class. Well, it wasn't too long after that that I had a terrific spiritual experience. So that I learned it's not just in the books, it's not just in Walter C. Lanyon or Joel S. Goldsmith, it's in me. It's in my consciousness. It's an I. And that was probably 1972 or 3. So that's 52 years ago, roughly. But that's how I got started. Also, I went over to another friend's house, and I was listening to Crosby, Stills, and Nash on the record player, and I looked at his bookshelf. I was always looking at books. And there was a copy of Practicing the Presence. And I opened it up and read a little bit. But you can see that my consciousness was unfolding. It was beginning to express and draw to me these things, these books, these ideas. And I began meditating and I began in earnest. Now, that didn't stop me from going through some human experiences, but it did begin my journey on this spiritual path, and I've been walking it ever since. So, how did your journey begin? be interesting to hear some. Maybe you could post them to the group. All right. You did not choose to enter the spiritual path. You had no such power as a human being. As a matter of fact, as a human being, you might have rejected this way of life because the spiritual life will not enhance your material sense of good. It opens up a world of spiritual good, and so there's a difference there. You might want to ask yourself, or contemplate, or ponder, or ask the Father, what is the difference between a material sense of good and spiritual good? What is the difference? How do I perceive the spiritual good? I'm going to be still for a moment. I am still when I feel that presence. And what is the presence that I feel? The presence of what? The presence of I, which is always in my consciousness. But when I feel it, I become consciously aware of I, and that I am. And that is why I suddenly say, let us be still. He says, the spiritual life will not enhance your material sense of good. It opens up a world of spiritual good. That is why people who believe that they can increase their physical health or material wealth through spiritual means may have many lessons awaiting them. Yes, and that's what I was trying to do when I was washing my hands in the water with those coins. Remember, usually in the beginning, mental science works. But then we outgrow that, and it doesn't work like it used to, or it doesn't work at all. And we return to find out what we missed. And if we are open, we are led to the spiritual way of living. The goal of the spiritual life is to awaken in His image and likeness, and to realize your spiritual identity as Christ, the Son of God. And I wrote here, to become consciously aware of the indwelling I, the only Son of God. Did you know that you are, in reality, Christ? You are Christ. What did we say Christ was? Christ is the I in your consciousness. That is your true identity. I in your consciousness am God. So what did we learn this week? A whole lot that we must practice. I have no child. I have no parent on earth. There is no such thing as time. There is no future. There is no past. I have never had an incarnation. Human life is a series of concepts. The birth of a child is a series of concepts. The death of a loved one is a series of concepts. Joel, who was able to see into the invisible because his consciousness was raised, he could see people right after they passed. And he could see them sometimes at somebody's funeral. He'd see them standing there. And how relieved they were and how amazed they were that life did not end. Let us do that here before we leave. Let us begin practicing in our meditation as we sit down. I have no past. I have no future. I was never born. I cannot die. I have no father on earth. I have no parents on earth. I have no children on earth. I am I, existing now before Abraham, existing now after the end. Stretch as far as you can, I am there. Stretch as far as you can back, I am there. Now. My parent, I only have one, my parent is God, the Father. What does God have? Joy, peace, harmony, blessings, truth, love, spirit. All that God has, I have. And I and the Father are one. I and all those qualities are one. I stand in consciousness. I listen. Father, speak. Thy Son heareth. And in a way ye know not of, the Father answers. You may receive a feeling of omnipresence. You may experience the movement of spirit within, the I within. You may receive a whispered voice of I. Son, I love you. You may experience an upliftment so that you see through the eyes of I. You may receive a release from material sense. Ah. But whatever you receive, it is your parent God disclosing, unfolding, revealing itself as the I within you. This is your home. This is where you stood before an incarnation. This is where you stand now. This is where you will stand after the incarnation, for I will never, ever leave you. Become conscious of I and live as God. God the Father, God the Son,
forever one. Thank you.